Halacha from Rabbi Yitzchak Morisky, Volume 2. And he has a nice mimer in Kriyas Yamsuf. And you'll see there's actually interesting halacha l'maisa-ish things that emerge. So let's see. Yom Tov Ha'achon Shel Pesach. The reason I picked this is because, you know, we get so busy with all the matzah and the maror. By the time we get to the end of Pesach, we're coming to shul and we're reading Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a lot of questions about Kriyas Yamsuf. How exactly it worked, what exactly it was, right? How exactly the Shira works. So let's see. Let's try to be mechabit and to elevate Kriyas Yamsuf. Yom Tov Ha'achon Shel Pesach Korin Vayihi B'Shalach. Kach Omer Es HaGemar B'Seches Megillah. Okay, so already shteit in Chazal, Gemar and Megillah, that we read Parshas B'Shalach at the end of Pesach. Perish Rashi, Lefi Shebiyom Shvi Shel Pesach, Amru Shira al Hayam, Ubeirusha Letora Bir Yoser. Rashi on Chumash similarly says and adds a little bit more that on the seventh day of Pesach we had Klal Yisrael recited the Shira. Where do you see that? Rashi writes in Shmos Perek Yudalid, Vayugad Lamelech Mitzrayim Ki Barach Ha'am, that the king of Mitzrayim found out that the Jews had escaped. He found out. Vayihi b'shalach paro. He sent them out. What do you mean he found out they escaped? So says Rashi, Perish Rashi, this is Rashi on Chumash, Iktorin Pekidim. That's right, Mirsky's translation. Iktorin. Iktorin means what? Messengers. Right, watchmen. Shalach imahem. He sent along with them. B'kevet she'igiu l'shloshes yam shakavu leilech v'lashuv. After the 3-day period had passed, and the Jews had promised they would come back after a 3-day yontiv, did not come back. The messengers came back to inform Paro immediately on the 4th day. 6th and 7th day chased. So on the 7th day after Yitzias Mitzrayim, they entered into the Yam. B'shachas Tam Rishira. Okay, so we have both a Rashi in Maseches Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph, and a Rashi in Shemos Perek Yudalid that tells us that we recite the Shira on the seventh day of Pesach because that's historically when it happened. Now, if you just look at the footnote for a second, in source number three, in footnote three, there is a Rashi in Parshas Shlach that gets a lot of ink spilled over it because Rashi says, "Why do you have 8 tzitzis strings?" Says Rashi, Shmona chutim shaba kneges Shmona yamim sheshav Yisrael mishiyatzim Mitzrayim at she'omru shira aliyam. It was 8 days until they said shira. 8 days, Rashi. You told me in Shemos, Perek Yedalad. Right. You told me in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph that the shira was on the 7th day, and we were going to recite that on the 7th day when we go to shul on Shvi Shel Pesach. So what's going on here? How do you understand the Rashi and Parshas Shlach? So in the footnote, he quotes from the Haral, who says that if you make the Cheshbon from Erev Pesach, from the time that there was the Shechitas of Pesach, so that's what Rashi means by the 8th day. Okay, so why is Rashi one place calculating from Erev Pesach, from the time they Shechted the Karban Pesach? So the Haral says, because that's really the beginning of the Geula. L'maisa, the Geula wasn't until the 15th. And therefore Rashi in most places says the 7th day. But this is how the Maharal solves the question. Okay, he gives us another Maramakum in the footnote. He says, look in the Divrei David. What's the Divrei David? The Taz in Shulchan Aruch wrote a super commentary on Rashi called the Divrei David. So he says, look in the Divrei David, and you'll find another answer. I have a Divrei David at home, and I did not have a chance between the end of last night's event and now to look in the Divrei David. So I apologize. Okay, but we can look in the Divrei David, and apparently many of the super commentaries on Rashi obviously are going to be bothered by this question. It's very obvious. Is there one of the base measures? Could be, I don't know. I have a nice one. I have a nice purple one. Mosadar of Cook, purple Divrei David. Very beautiful. What is it? Yeah, it looks nice. It looks nice. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now, by the way, who, just to point out parenthetically, who actually was this, was the one who was responsible for informing Paro? Who was the one? Who are these informants? Who was or who were these informants? Yeah? Dasan Vaviram. Dasan Vaviram came along as spies, went back to Paro. Okay. I never saw that, but it could be. Yeah, there's what to maybe work with there.
Weren't they in contact with, I don't know, I hate the word viceroy.
Yeah, they were definitely slow to get out of Mitzrayim, and they were sort of acting like spies. So it could be. Never saw that opinion. If you look in the Balat Turim, he says the answer is in Ki Barach. But you got the Melech Mitzrayim Ki Barach Ha'am. Ki Barach is Gematria Malik. So therefore, the Balat Turim says there's only two places in the Torah you have Ki Barach. Anyone know where the other one is? Who else fled? Who else it was informed that someone had fled?
Yosef.
Paro only wanted to kill the men, but this one was Bikesh Lakar Asakol. When Yaakov left Beis Lavan, it also says Kibarach. And Baal Turim again says, Amalek is involved. Now again, Amalek what? Amalek the person, Amalek the nation. Okay, but Amalek is always trying to keep Klal Yisrael in a state of Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, to keep us trapped. Okay, so Kibarach is Gematria 240, Gematria Amalek. Okay, good idea to have. Fine, so let's go on. So, says Rashi, on the fourth day, Paro found out, 5 and 6 he chased. The seventh day, the Jews entered the Yam, and by the morning of the seventh, they were singing Shira, okay? To commemorate the Nes. V'kasa Rav Yaakov Emdin b'siduro. Okay, you see where it's highlighted. Rav Yaakov Emdin in his famous Siddur, Rav Yaakov Emdin, in the Siddur Beis Yaakov, says, Anshe Maisa Noagim B'leil Zeh, Sheyardu Avasenu B'yamsuf, V'avru Bo B'charava, L'kro L'shnos Tikun Leil Shvi Shol Pesach, V'korin Bo Shiras Hayam. Now, by certain Chassidish Rebbes, this is a big Inyan. The seventh of Pesach is a big Inyan. Exactly what this Tikun Leil Shvi Shol Pesach is, obviously differs from one Hasidic court to another. Right? But Rav Yaakov Emdin in his Siddur says this is a big night. Shvi Shol Pesach is a big night. To be Osek in this Inyan of Kriyas Yamsuf, so to speak, the final step of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to commemorate and to think about and to recite the Shira and to remember that what? To remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us through on dry land. V'nei neis Kriyas Yamsuf keitzad hayo. V'im nikra hayam kulo miksaso. Bezeh nasok lahalan. Exactly how this happened, and I'm sure you've heard things and you're curious to clarify certain things. He says, I'm going to explain this later on. So that's what you're here to find out. V'od b'sipur ha'nes shel kriyas yamsuf kosva ha'torah prat echad shehaya b'chlal ha'nes. Now within the nes, the Torah seems to emphasize the following. V'yasar es ofan markvosov v'yenahigehu b'chvedus. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the ofen markav osav, removed the wheels of the wagons, and they were led with, what's kvedus? With a heaviness, with a slowness. The Mitzrayim were slowed down, their wagon wheels were falling off, they were getting stuck in the mud, exactly what it was, we'll see. V'lonis parish mat zorachai b'prat zesh al anis, v'lamashimish. We don't know exactly what was the point. Again, Hashem wants to kill the Mitzrayim, gevaldik. But why does the Torah have to emphasize, look how Hashem slowed them down?
Turmoil.
Right, so we heard a little bit last night, those who were together last night. Rav Ehrman spoke about the lack of menucha that the Egyptians were experiencing in that moment. But let's try to understand even more. We'll have a better understanding of Kriyas Yamsuf, when we have a better understanding of Kriyas Yamsuf, we'll have a clear understanding of why Hashem had to dafka slow down and make heavy and to break off the wagon wheels of the Egyptians. Yeah.
Yeah. Although even more of a question is, aren't they 3 days ahead of them? Like, shouldn't they be way...
Right, they were way ahead, and then they got stuck by the Yam. And then they had a standoff by the Yam. So yeah, seemingly the Jews were way ahead, but we got trapped by the Yam, and then we panicked, and the Mitzrayim were right there, right opposite us, and our guiding pillars and protectors, right, moved behind us to protect us, to separate us from the Egyptians. And that was the final showdown. Okay, Neis Kriyas Yamsuf Ketzad Haya Biaro Atosos Meseches Arachin. Meseches Erachin, or Arachin. I like to call it Erachin because that's what Jews typically call it, even though it's really pronounced Arachin. So some people will correct you. And I dafka, even when I'm around people who like to correct people who say Erachin, I still say Erachin. Because I don't know, that's what my Alter Zeta used to say. He used to say Erachin. Yes, it's Arachin. Okay? But Tosos Meseches Arachin, or Erachin, whatever you want to call it, Shalo Avru Yisrael, it tells us exactly how it worked. How did it work? Shalo Avru Yisrael Es Hayam. The point is, sometimes you have to... What? Rav Dov, what's so funny?
I say Chavura all the time.
Chavura, yeah. Right, so sometimes you have to do what's right. And then there's also an Indian of, you know, Al Tifrash Menat Tzibur, that's also Chazal. that if the tzibur does something, even if it's a little bit off, sometimes that's just, there's a reason for it. And Sfarim sometimes give an explanation for things. So I don't know. Certainly wouldn't want to make someone feel bad if they say Erchin. That's what a lot of Jews say. So I don't need to be a show-off that I know how to say it better. But it's good. It's also good to know how words are pronounced. I'm all for that also. Okay. Thanks for putting up with that rant. Shalom Avri Yisrael Asayam L'Rachva Mitzido Echad Shalayam L'Tzido Asheni. Says the Tosfos in that Masechta. Shalom Avri Yisrael. The Jews did not cross from one side of the Yam to the other side. See, we picture Klal Yisrael went across. They crossed the Yam. It's not true, says Tosfos. El Nichnasu El Yam Hilchu Bo. An amazing thing. If you never heard this before, you can see the picture on the top of the next page. If you open up a Gemara in Maseches Arachin, you'll see this picture printed there. And the Arve Nachal, he's going to quote, has it printed as well. He's going to give an explanation based on it. But according to Tosfos, and seemingly it's just based on the Pasuk, they went in. They traveled somewhat down, right? They traveled along the length of the side that they were on, and they emerged just further down on the same side. Okay? So they walked in a half circle, as the picture clearly indicates. How do you see that in the Pesukim? Look at the Pasuk. Shenamar. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael miram says, v'yachanu besukos. Vayisu besukos v'yachanu be'esam. Asher b'ktzei hamidbar. V'yavru besoch hayam hamidbara. And then they're still in Esam. Why are they still in Midbar Esam? The answer is because they entered the water. They traveled along the length of the side that they were on, and they emerged further down the river. Yeah.
Now, is this a different aspect? In the chart here, it looks like all the Shvatim were side by side.
Oh, so we'll see. We'll see how it. Okay, good. So we'll see. I think you'll. Let's see. Okay, Tafa page 209. So they traveled through the Yam in a half a circle. So I think we spoke once in the past about the idea of the half circle representing a half of a geula, and an understanding that Kriyas Yamsuf and the really the concluding step of Yetzias Mitzrayim was really only half of a geula. Whether you want to understand it, right, whether you want to understand it like we spoke about in terms of you know, Leil Shimurim, right? It says Shimurim twice in the Torah, like the Baal HaTurim said. That there was the Shimurim then, and there's a Shimurim now. There was the Geula then, and then there's the other half of the Geula, so to speak, that we're still waiting for and longing for. You can understand it like that. Right? I once wanted to suggest that part of the Inyan of breaking the middle matzah is exactly this also. That we're turning the full circle into two half circles. As if to say, we only resochet to half a gula, and there's always more gula that is necessary. Okay, but be it as it may, that's the Metzias. They walk through the Yam, Kitavnis HaKeshes, right? Like the picture before your eyes, like a rainbow. Adkan Torf Devayim, this is the essential point that Tosos in Maseches Arachin is making. V'lama nichnasu v'lama yatsu. El b'shvil ha-mitzur. So then what was the point, right? Meaning, if they're escaping from one side to the other side, so that's, you know, that's how we pictured it as kids, I'm sure. And now we're finding out, maybe for the first time, maybe you've heard this before, that they went in and they came out on the same side. So what was the point of that? Why couldn't they just walk along the shore? The answer is obviously for the mitzvah. The mitzvah had to be the ones to meet their fate in the Yam. Okay? El b'shvil ha-mitzvah. That the mitzvah should enter after them, and they should drown there. Val ofen halichasam shel Yisrael b'yam amru b'mechilta in the third line. The mechilta tells us, asara nisim nasa the Yisrael ha-yam echad mehem shenase, what? The Yam was made into gizarim, was made into what? Into pathways. Into what? Into it was broken into pieces. Shenemar legozer yamsuf ligzarim kili olam chasto. Right, that the Yam was divided into each sheva had its own pathway. Ubir of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. If you look in the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Parak Mem Beis, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says Shamayim nikfu v'nasu liyud beis shvilim keneged yud beis shvatim. Shvil echad l'chol shevet. Every shevet had its path, And that's an important thing to recognize, that every Shevet has its own path in Avodas Hashem as well. V'chein b'targum Yonasan. Okay? V'hayu ha-shvilim k'tavnis ha-keshes. And then those pathways, right, formed half circles, creating an image of a rainbow. Almost like a rainbow, like a bow. Okay? As the picture shows. Yeah?
The reason that it says we came in one in and exited at the same end,
right, so that doesn't answer why not a straight line. Okay, but we're going to see something very interesting, what the metzias of this half circle is. Again, that's why you need the other explanations, the half circle representing half the geula, right? And it's not a full circle, we haven't come full circle yet. Okay, but he's going to explain something very, very interesting, b'derech ha-pshat now, from the Arvei Nachal. But I want to just point out, Satmar Rebbe brings in his Hagadah Shel Pesach, he quotes a Medrash Shir HaShirim, that there were in fact 600,000 paths. Now whether there were 12 paths, like it says in Birkat Eliezer, whether there were 600,000 paths, and every Jew had his own path, right, the message is more or less the same. In the sense that, yes, that when it comes to Avodas Hashem, there are different shvatim that have different mahalchim. And even within the shvatim, there are different individuals. No two people are created the same. It may not nili mili. That each person's avoda is entirely unique. But as I love to point out, and I have to point out, I can't talk about this without pointing it out, even though I'm sure I've shared it with some of you in the past. The Papa Rav asked the following question. If you look in the Medrash, you look over there in Pirkei Tzvi Eliezer, and this I've seen with my own eyes, so I know it's there, it's true. Pirkei Tzvi Eliezer says that the walls that separated them were transparent. So the Papa Rav famously asked, Mima nafshach? If I'm going to walk in my own path, so why do I need to see what's going on in my neighbor's path? Why do you need to have a wall that I can see into the next person's lane? If the whole avoda is to find my avoda and walk my path, why am I looking over? And if I'm supposed to see what the other guy's doing, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make these walls that divide? To have a wall but that one can see through. What's the point? No, it takes a big tzaddik to ask an obvious question. But the second the tzaddik gets the questions, we all know the answer, right? I always say, you learn Sichas Musar. Every question Rav Chaim Shmuel Avitz asks, you're like, why didn't I ask that question? And the second he asks the question, you know exactly what the answer is going to be. But it takes a tzaddik and a chacham to ask the right question. Nus, what's the answer? The answer is, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, yes, everyone has their own avoda. Everyone has their own path. Every Shevet has their own path, and every Yochid has his own path. But it doesn't mean I can't at least look to someone who lives with a different mahalach, you know, a different hanhagas achayim, and try to learn something. It doesn't mean I'm walking their path. I might look at them and say, that's not the path I want for myself or for my family or for my community. That's not my path. But why can't I look at another community and say, you know what, Taka, they do that better than we do. And I should learn from them. And to become somewhat of a mix of all of the good things. Take Allah good to Zach and put them all together. Yeah. Okay, there you go. To learn from everyone.
You can only do that when you feel comfortable.
Exactly. So you have to, exactly. And that's what Hashem is saying. You have to know that your path is your path. But if you're confident in your path, you don't feel threatened by someone else's path. You're able to take from them and to give to them and to learn. Yeah.
We can't. Like, nowadays, like, I think everyone, like, all of us, like, I mean, like, not that I've learned that many farm, but I've heard from people that, like, bigger band will say, like, especially like with Uber, like, don't look at anyone else's vote because we can't
right.
look at anyone's vote now
right.
because we're feeling so self-conscious.
Right,
and it's
right, because we end up comparing ourselves to others. We end up getting confused, you know. Maybe their path is better. Maybe, and then you end up bouncing around every path and that becomes dangerous.
The Eitzah
is to have a deep sense of self. And again, it may take a long time to figure out what one's path is. Right? Because Baruch Hu set them on their path at this point. And that was a very necessary component for them to all be able to hear the Torah at our Sinai in their own way, like Chazal already said. Right? Now that sounds like a very modernish and strange thing to say, that everyone hears the Torah in their own way. Right? But it's true. Obviously within a rubric, within a framework of halachic Yiddishkeit. But yeah, there's a lot of room for individuality. It's very funny when people feel that, like, being an Orthodox Jew has, you know, there's no room for freedom of expression. It's not true at all. Every yachid is mamash yachid. Bishvili nevra haolam. Right? You have to walk around and say that. Yeah, but you know, I look at certain communities and everyone wears white shirts and black pants. Yeah, so that's what you're saying is the defining characteristic of a person's individuality. They dafka dress the same to remind themselves that being a yachid is not about, you know, having like a spiky green mohawk. That doesn't make you a yachid. That's not how you express your individuality. Come move on from the world. Okay? Good. So let's go on. So says the Arvei Nachal. Says the Arvei Nachal. But say for Arvei Nachal, he brings this picture, right, again, of the rainbow-like half-circle of Kriyas Yamsuf. And now the Arvei Nachal says, I'll tell you, now I understand the Pasuk. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu have to remove the wagon wheels and make it heavy for them to travel? Me'ata. Says the Arvei Nachal. Why did the Hashem have to remove the wagon wheels? Look what he writes. Cave and Shanasa Hayam Yud Bez Shvilin Vitruas Kashas Lahem. Since the Yam became what? Became 12 pathways, right? Each a half circle. Nimsa Kol Shvil HaMakiv Es Chavero Aruch Me Shvil HaMukaf. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Look at the picture. The outer circles are going to have what? Longer routes to travel than the inner circle. The outermost circle is going to be the longest pathway through the Yam. It's more than double the innermost track. Therefore, the Shvatim were not able to emerge from the Yam at once. Right? The farther out you are, the longer your route was, and the longer it took you to get into the Yam and out of the Yam. And those who were obviously on the outermost track came out last. So what's the problem now? So the Mitzrim chased the Jews down all the pathways. So that means if I'm a Mitzri and I'm chasing, let's assume Sheva Yehuda, let's assume the circles are maybe in the order that they traveled in the line, and it can't be Sheva Dan is the outermost ring, right? So according to this, if I was a Mitzri who chased into that first, you know, the first lane, right? If I entered into the first lane behind Sheva Yehuda, so that means what? That means the Mitzrim finished their lap before what? Before the Shvatim and the outer tracks finish their laps. That means you have Mitzrim waiting on the dry land, standing there, waiting for Jews to emerge. So how did
that lane close up though?
Before, and the lanes collapsed as they. Okay, it could be. So look what he says. You could make that point, but then you don't have a good pshat on the pasuk. He says, "I want to say a good pshat on the pasuk." Right? Says the Arvei Nachal. Says the Halakha Arvei Nachal. Arvei Nachal is Rav David Eibshitz. Okay, he wrote beautiful drushos called Arvei Nachal. So he says the following. He says, what's the pshat? V'kan l'chor ha-kosha. Harei ha-mitzrim radfu achrei Yisrael b'chol shvil u'shvil. Nimtza sha-mitzrim shradfu achrei Yisrael b'shvilim ha-pnimim shayu kitzarim. The mitzrim took the short track. Olu min ha-yam, kodim shiatu Yisrael, min ha-shvil ha-chitzonim. So what's going to be? So says the Arvei Nachal, about 7 lines from the bottom, Bir Arvei Nachal v'amar, Zatam sheheiser Hashem is ofen markavosav. That's why Hashem had to slow them down, so Jews could be moving quickly, and the Egyptians, as their wagon wheels fall off, as they get stuck in the mud, Hashem didn't stop them from pursuing, because Hashem wanted them to live, and to suffer till the end, that the Mitzrim should have that dimion that they're going to catch up to Klal Yisrael. But Hashem made them travel with what? With the Kvedus. Hashem removed the wagon wheels, Shal Mitzrayim, V'ni'olam b'chvedus, Kedei Shamitzum Sheradfu Achrei Yisrael, B'shvilim HaKetzarim, Yishka'u B'refesh V'tit, that the Egyptians should be sinking and get slowed down and stuck in the mud, V'lo Yaspiku Lalos Min Hayam, that they wouldn't be able to get out of the Yam, until what? Until the last Jew in the outermost circle had finished his route.
Only the smaller routes? Wagon wheels.
Right, so you have to figure that out. Right, it could be that only in the smaller ones, the Mitzrim, which actually makes a little bit of sense. If you understand what I was saying about the Shvatim, right, at least as far as the, you know, let's assume Sheva Dan was the outermost track. Sheva Dan had a major issue by the Yam. Sheva Dan almost didn't make it, almost didn't survive by the Yam, right? The Vilna Gaon says that, when the Pasuk says that the Mayim was. One time it's spelled Choma with a Vav, one time it's spelled Chema. being meramis to the divine wrath that was flaring at the Yam. What was the divine wrath by the sea? So the Gra writes in Kol Eliyahu that Hashem was very angry. At who? At Shevet Dan. Because if you look in Midrashim, Midrash Tanchuma brings that Shevet Dan had a Vodazar with them as they crossed the Yam. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had a Hava Mina, who was a Chema by the Yam, that Hashem says, you know what? Let me just drown thee. Now the Gra seems to be working off of the Mahalach, at least you would think, if you're reading this piece in the Gra, that they were traveling like Rabbi Duvit said, that they were traveling in a straight line, and what happened? Right? That Shevet Dan was the last ones out of the water. So at one point, you had what? You only had left in the water Dan and the Mitzvah. And Hashem said that maybe the Malach, Samach Mem and Shemayim, who said, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, V'halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Mamish, as they're smuggling their Avodah Zarah through the Yam, maybe they should die. And in the end, Hashem had Rachmanis. But according to what the Ari Nachal is saying, you could say very interesting.
You could say that
the Mitzvim who were chasing in the outer track, right? Because they were chasing the most rebellious of the Jews, right? They didn't have such a hard time chasing them. They were able to chase them. And it was very realistic that they could catch them. The Mitzvim on the inside track, they were strong. Their wagon wheels were falling off. They're stuck in the mud, right? But it could be the Jews in the outermost track, the Jews who deserve to live with that fear until the last second, because there really was a chashash that maybe they're not going to make it until the end. Right? That was Shevet Dan. That was Shevet Dan. Okay, so it could be those Mitzvim didn't have trouble, or it could be Lav Dafka. Could be that all the Mitzvim were struggling with their wagons.
Where does it say okay? That they had Avodah Zarah with them?
That's a Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma says it. And the Medrash that I like to quote is the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Re'eh, if I'm not mistaken, where I've shared it a lot of times on Tisha B'Av, because the Medrash is commenting on the Pasuk, L'cha Hashem etztaka v'lanu boshes upon him. So one of the kinos on Tisha B'Av begins that way. And it's really based on that Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Re'eh. I think it's Os Tesvav, but I'm not sure. And in that Medrash, it basically points out all the times that L'cha Hashem etztaka, Hashem, you were doing an act of kindness, v'lanu boshes upon him, and at that very moment we were slapping you in the face. For example, the Medrash says, Hashem was splitting the sea, and we were carrying Avodah Zarah. Hashem was sending down the man, and we were feeding it to the Egel. What a slap in the face. L'cha Hashem etztaka v'lanu boshes upon him. At the moment you were doing etztaka for us, we were shamefaced. We should be shamefaced. The Medrash has a whole list of examples of really embarrassing things that Klal Yisrael did. Dafka at the moment. But the truth is, it's true for every aver that we do. It's exactly L'cha Hashem etztaka v'lanu boshes upon him. Right, like the Ramak writes in the Tomer Devora, that at the very moment that you're using your body to do any avera, Hashem is empowering you. You're using your mouth to speak Lashon Hara, Hashem is giving you the ability to speak. You're using your body for any sin, and at that moment Hashem is giving you the physical ability to perform that avera. L'cha Hashem etztaka v'lanu boshes upon him. We're using the powers that you've given us against you. Okay, two lines from the bottom on 209. L'das Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra hayi hanes gadol yoiser. Ba'od Yisrael hayu ovrim b'yabasha b'soch hayam paro u'mitzrayim heichelu tovim b'yam. At the very moment that the Jews, now this is very interesting. See, it's one thing to what? It's one thing to slow the Mitzvah down, get the Jews out of the water, right? And then to drown the Egyptians. But this is more, like Dan was saying, that what? That at the very moment there were some Jews who were still walking on dry land. There are other Mitzrim who are already drowning, right? But Ochi Yisrael, hay over by Abasha Besochayam, Paro and the Mitzrim were drowning. So we picture again everyone's out of the water and then the walls of water collapse back down. Says Ibn Ezra, there's a bigger miracle, not necessarily. It could be you had dry land and a raging yam at the same time. Let's see how he puts that together. Kasav Ibn Ezra, turn the page. Ibn Ezra says, "V'zeh haya pella b'soch pella, wonder within a wonder. Ki b'makom shayu Yisrael over b'yam, hayu sham ruach chadim miyavesh. U'v'makom paro v'chelo, hevi Hashem ruach acheres, shehameis es hamayim shenikrashu v'nasu chomos." That caused the solidified waters to melt, right, and to turn back into water. So you have one koach of wind that's drying the, literally drying the seabed, allowing the Jews to cross very naturally. You have another wind that's what? That's melting the frozen, solidified water and causing it to turn back into a raging yam. So how do you have that at the same time? There's a medrash, I think it's an Eicha. No, is it an Esther or it's an Eicha? I don't remember. I think it's an Esther. It's an Esther. I think Medrash Rabbah and Esther says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound to... Medrash makes a point. Look how Hashem is not bound by Teva. Right? Normally a person has to decide, I can go in this direction or I can go in that direction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send the wind in opposite directions at the same time. Hashem has the ability to reconcile things that can't go together. Like we were talking last night, that Makas Barad, fire and water, Neis Pesoch Neis, like Rashi says. Hashem, that's no problem. Hashem says, I can at the same time, in the same location, send a wind that's drying the water, and at the same time, send a warm wind that's melting the walls, right, and drowning the mitzvah. So says Ibn Ezra, that's mamash, a pella besoch pella, it's a neis besoch neis. Bishvil la debiya behemes, a mitzvah. Val pizah biras kefa lashon shel ksuvim. Now Ibn Ezra, of course, is one of the mefarshei pshat, right? He's a pashtun. So, you have to fit this into the psukim. Ibn Ezra is not going to just make miracles stop. So look how he fits it beautifully into the psukim. What does it say? You ever wonder? You have two psukim that say the same thing, essentially. Look where it's underlined. Pasuk Chav Beis, the water turned into walls to the right and to the left of the Jews. So now, good. So there were walls. The Jews crossed. And then again, a few psukim later, Chav Ches Chav Tes, V'yashuvu amayim v'yachasu es harecha v'es haprashim l'kol chel paro habam achareyam b'yam u'v'nei Yisrael hochu b'soch v'yamashah b'soch hayam v'amayim lehem choba miminam u'mismolam. So I told you one place is choma, one place is chema, but Ibn Ezra was saying, what about the fact, just why are you telling this to me again? Right? Why when it's over are you telling me v'amayim lehem choma miminam u'mismolam? It says v'yashuvu amayim v'yachasu as harecha v'as haprashim, that the Egyptians, the chel power, had been destroyed. Right. So when that's over, it's not. You don't have to say again. You have to remind. Oh, by the way, when the Jews were in the water, v'amayim lemchola miminam mismolam. We knew that already, and that's over. That's done. The water has collapsed. The Egyptians drowned. The first part of that pasuk. Ella, it must be. Must be the Torah is telling us one of the wonders of Kriyas Yamsuf. That no, the pasuk is telling you. Some of Pharaoh's soldiers were already drowning in the water, right? And at the very same time, there were still Jews who were finishing up. Who were continuing, right? So that's really what you said. Who were finishing up their lap, so to speak, on the outer longer route. And for them, and again, that's special. That adds an element to the miracle.
Wow, the wheels.
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the exact same time is able to be mechalik, to turn every drop, you know, that not one drop of water should be used in a way that's not meant to be used. The water that's meant to destroy, destroys. The water that's meant to protect, protects. Yeah. So why the wagon wheels? So the wagon wheels was, again, you still have to say that every nachal. The wagon wheels still slowed down those who were on the inner track. But it's amazing to have a raging river, right? A raging yam. I should keep calling it a river. It's not a river. Right? To have this raging yam at the same time, at the same time that you have, you know, the Jews crossing with great tranquility. Okay? V'davar zekfar amru v'medjesh rabba amru v'yochanan kevet sha'ala ha'achron sh'bi yisrael manayam yeri l'socho ha'achron sh'al mitzrayim nimsa. Therefore it comes out that the rishon ha'am mitzrayim yardu b'yam v'adayin yisrael sh'om bo v'chein b'sof ha'shira perak tezva pasuk yotes ki vasus para b'rechvo for ha'shav b'yam v'yashav ha'shem aleyem v'smei ha'yam v'nei yisrael hochu b'yabashav b'soch ha'yam. Okay, so therefore l'das v'yav v'ben Ezra gam pasuk zeh me'ashirahu lahas hir ha'pela b'soch ha'pela. Right, so therefore this pasuk, which is really comes at the end of the shira, ki vasus para b'rechvo u'v'far ha'shav b'soch b'yam v'yashav ha'shem aleyem v'smei ha'yam is also part of the miracle. that as the Mitzvah were drowning, B'nai Yisrael halchu b'sochei yam b'yabashah. Right? That they stayed dry. Okay? But now he says something interesting. Let's talk about that last pasuk in the Shira, and we're going to see two very interesting nafkaminas l'halacha. How do you understand the last pasuk of the Shira? Right? Where does Az Yashir end? Where does it end? So you could say that the last pasuk is what? You could say that the last pasuk is Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed. And after the last pasuk of the Shira, then the narrator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Torah, says, Ki vasus par b'chvo v'farashav b'yam, v'yashav Hashem alayim v'smei yam, v'nei Yisrael hocho b'yabashav b'sochei yam. You can see that as sort of like the summary of the whole story. Or, like Ibn Ezra is saying, that no, that's part of the Shira. We're praising Hashem for at the moment the Mitzvah were drowning in the sea, the Jews were still crossing by Abasha. So according to Ibn Ezra, Pasuk Yutes rather, that last Pasuk is really part of the Shira. And we'll see what the Nafkaminas are in a minute. Aval HaRamban Cholek Arabi Avim Ibn Ezra. The Ramban argues and he says, absolutely not. The Shira ends with the Pasuk, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ved. And afterwards, the Torah is now just telling us a summary of the story. Ulidaito ein pasuk zemin ashira, vutzion hazman matai shori yisrael ashira. If you want to know when this song was sung, right? Now that the song is over, realize this song was sung ki vas sus par when par had been drowned and the Jews crossed on dry land. Achein kasav gam rabbeinu b'chaya. That this is what the pasuk is referring to. V'kach gam das havudraham. Jumping ahead, just where it's bolded. Shekasev kisiyum parsha koflin a pasuk achron. V'chein b'shiras hayam koflin pasuk Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed. Because that is the last pasuk. Avudraham says the practice is whenever you finish a shira, whenever you finish a section of song, right, to signal the end of the song, you repeat the last line. An additional time. And we do that also. Maybe we don't realize that we do that. But when we sing a song, right? Sometimes when it's over, we'll continue the niggin of the last part, right? An additional time. One last time. So the fact that, so it says the Avudraham, Shira Sayam ends with Pasuk Yud Ches, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ve'ed, and that's why you say it two times, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ve'ed. The Kivas whose power was just an explanation of the context of when this Shira actually took place. Okay? And he says, he brings from some of the piyutim that I'm sure none of us have ever said, but various piyutim for Shvi'i Shel Pesach, which also seem to indicate like this approach of the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachaya and the Avudraham. Okay, turn to the top of the next page. So what's the nafkamina between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban? Pasuk Yutes is part of the Shira, it's not part of the Shira. Any nafkaminas? Well, there's a couple. Hamachlokas hazos bin Rabbi Avraham ibn Ezra and the Ramban eina iyunis bilvad. It's not merely academic. It's relevant in a very practical way. Eliyesh b'gam nafkamina ledina. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah on Daf Tzayin Amud Beis, how do you write a Shira? What's the style? You're looking to say for Torah. What does a Shira look like? So he says in the second line on page 211, Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, Darash Rav Shila ish kvar timrasa, Kol hashiros kula nichtos ariach al gabe levena, v'levena al gabe ariach. That's written in Maseches Megillah because it's contrasting with the way that we write the Aseres Bnei Havan. But a shira is typically written an ariach al gabe levena, and a levena al gabe ariach. Chavre, you know what that means? What's an ariach?
Brick.
A brick. What's a levena?
White page.
Levena is also a brick. Right? There are different measures of bricks. A half a brick, a full brick. Yeah? But exactly like Dave's saying, right? We build, so to speak, a shira out of bricks. We build it out of bricks. Bricks in the sense that we have words, which serve as some bricks. And then the white space between the words, right, serves as additional bricks. Says Rashi, Ariach, the brick, refers to the ksav. The levena is the blank spaces. Shukaflayim in a ksav. Now, the way it's printed on the page in front of us is not a great example. It gives us a couple lines from what it looks like in the Sefer Torah. But just realize that, again, what he's saying is what? He's saying that the Ariach is a half a brick, and the levena, right, is a full brick. Okay.
Why is this not a good
Because it just doesn't look like it's to scale. Yeah, Riach is supposed to be half the size of the. Maybe my eyes are just off. Maybe I'm a little tired.
The half bricks are on the screen.
The half bricks are is the writing, and the full bricks. The full bricks is the blank.
The third. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine. But that's the halacha, and that's the halacha in Hilchos Sefer Torah in the Shulchan Aruch. Kasav Shira Kshar Ksav Pasav. You write the Shira. It's important to realize this. Not that it ever is not going to happen. You're not going to have this mistake in a Sefer Torah where someone wrote the Shira regular.
There are two words here, so this is only half. It does make sense because this is like a third, and then this is another. Whatever.
Okay, fine, fine. I should have kept my mouth shut. Okay, I'm not a sofer. But again, the point is you have half bricks, you have full bricks, you have writing, you have blank space. The bottom line is the Shira has to be constructed in this way, in the way that one would build. Okay, why that is something that has to be explored. But that's the halacha. And if you write the Shira, just straight lines, like a regular section of the Sefer Torah, puzzle. Okay? Now, is that last pasuk part of the Shira or not part of the Shira? That's a very relevant question. Is pasuk Yud-Tes part of the Shira or not part of the Shira? In other words, is the Ksav for pasuk Yud-Tes at the end of Az Yashir, should it be written in the style of writing of Shira? Or should it be written a straight line? Ki'ilu, it's just a hemshach of the psukim of the regular Ksav of the Sefer Torah. V'inei pasuk Yud-Tes, Kiva sus paro brechvo for arsha b'yam v'yashav Hashem aleim esmei hayam keitzeru nichta b'sifrei Torah. How do you write it? That will give us a big indication whether, like the Ibn Ezra says, it's part of the Shira, it's part of the miracle. Or like the Ramban says, no, it's just giving us a context. It's giving us a time frame and a context to when the Shira was sung. Ha'im ketzuras Shira, Ariach Agabi Leveno, Kshar Ksav. L'chora cholkim b'zeh, Rabbi Avim Ibn Ezra Ramban. So the Pasha says that Ibn Ezra Ramban would argue about this. Ibn Ezra L'shitaso says it should be written Ariach Agabi Leveno. The Ramban says it should be written straight. L'das Ramban, Yesh L'kosva, Kshar Ksav. So he quotes on the Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel is one of the commentaries that you find on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. And Machzis HaShekel writes in Or Chaim Simen Nun Aleph, Shekach Nimtza Bahar Be'Sifrei Torah, Shepasuk Zeh Eino Nichta Betunat Sashira, V'hu Kramban. Machzis HaShekel says, I have seen Sifrei Torah where Pasuk Yud-Tes is written like a regular line. It's not part of the Shira. U'ledas Rabbi Avin Ben Ezra, Yesh L'Kosva Betunat Sashira. However, v'kasa ba'al ha-machzis ha-shechel, shekach roi linog, v'kach hu nichta b'svarim shalanu. Open up our Sefer Torah, and you will see, at the recommendation of machzis ha-shechel, in accordance with the opinion of the Ibn Ezra, this is what you will find in our Sefer Torah, that the last pasuk Yud-Tes, is written in the style of the Shira. It is written Ariach Agabi Levein. Okay, it's not written in just straight line ksav of a Sefer Torah. Okay, so that's an interesting nafka mina that emerges from how do you understand the pasuk? Is it part of the miracle, or is it merely giving us the context by which Klal Yisrael praised Hashem? A second nafka mina, middle of page 211. A second nafka mina. Vod nafka mina. Im yesh lichbol betfilas shachris. What did the Avudraham say? Avudraham said we're kofel the last pasuk. When we end the song, we repeat the last line, right? So we mentioned once in the past that the minhag in Spain, in Sfarad, was to always do this by every perek of Tehillim, in Psukei Dezimra. Our minhag, as appears in Shulchan Aruch, is of course we only do it on the last perek of Tehillim, which is why we say, Kol Neshama Talka Luka, Kol Neshama Talka Luka, I mentioned in the Purim Shir. Right, that we repeat, Kol Neshama, right? Yud-Heh. Kol Neshama Talka Luka, Kol Neshama Talka Haluka. So that signals that you've reached Tehillim Kufnun, the last words of David HaMelech. So now, I also want to put an end. I want to put that special signature at the end of the Shira, of the Az Yashir. But where does the Shira end? Does it end like Ibn Ezra says in Pasuk Yud-Tes, or does it end in like the Ramban says in Pasuk Yud-Ches? V'od nafkamina yesh lichpo betfila shachris kesh'orim shiras hayam is a pasuk Hashem yimloch li'olam ve'ed. According to the Ramban, that's the last pasuk of the Shira, so we should say Hashem yimloch li'olam ve'ed. Shu sofa Shira, like the Avudraham. U'le mi'ilu l'das Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra, Ein lekoflo. The Ben Ezra says, why would you repeat that pasuk? That's not the last pasuk. The last pasuk is pasuk Yates. Well, the Indian Amiras the pasuk kivas sus paro, right? Rabu hadeos. Whether or not that pasuk should be said or it should be repeated, there are many opinions. Uledas hagra ein laomro. The gra says don't even say it because that's not az yashir. That's just back to the regular text of the Torah. Ve'in kan makum laharich. Okay, so very interesting. Both the way that we're going to recite Az Yashir in the context of our tefillah, and the way that Az Yashir is going to be printed in the Ksav of the Sefer Torah. These are two nafkaminas between the Machlokas that first and foremost is Ibn Ezra and Ramban, but you see other Rishonim and other sources weigh in as well. Yeah.
It seems like we paskin like opposites.
Right. It seems a little bit like we paskin, that's why he said Rabu Hadeos. And there's many opinions exactly how to work it in. The Gra felt that by Pesukei Zimri, Dafka shouldn't say that pasuk. So how would the Gra understand that with the Metzias of how our Sefer Torah are written is a very interesting question for the Gra, and obviously probably an elaborate question. So he said, Ein kan makum laharech.
For us also, okay? the opposite way. We pass like the Ibn Ezra, who says it is part of it.
It is part of it, so, right.
But we say double, and we say Hashem Elochim.
Right. Right.
So it makes sense for the Gra to say that we don't say Hashem Elochim twice. Because he paskins like the Ibn Ezra.
No, the Gra is just saying that we don't say. I don't know what the Siddur HaGra has. It sounds like he's saying the Siddur HaGra says that we don't. That when we finish the pasuk, we don't
say it twice because we paskin like the Ibn Ezra, who says that that's part of the.
No,
is part
the
Gra, of the
I don't think the Gra says we don't say it twice. So we don't say the pasuk yet. Right. You don't say
kiva
sus. I guess the Gra's meant to say probably did say it
twice.
So the question is, why in a Sefer Torah is kiva sus written like the Machzis of Shekel? That it is written in the style of Shira, and at the same time, right? At the same time, the Gra is saying that we shouldn't even say this pasuk. Because it's not really part of the Shira. I'm just seeing if the article has like a note, like some take it out. Right? Okay, but apparently in the Ma'aser Rav, again, I didn't get a chance to look, but in the Ma'aser Rav, Be'ilchos Pesukei D'Zimra, as he says in the footnote here, apparently the Gra didn't say this last pasuk. And Mistama, he was Kofel, right? So we do a strange combination.
We say it twice.
We say it twice, and then we say it. So what's that about? Okay, so Ein Kan Makom Laharech. At first he says there's no time to be marech. I guess he knew that we only have so much time on Sundays. He didn't want to trouble us. But now we're more troubled because we don't know the answer. Okay, good. Let's finish up. Nachzer al Rishonos. Let's go back to where we started. Amar Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra, Kriyas Yamsuf Hayapela Besoch Pela. Again, it was a double miracle that on the one hand you had Jews who were still in the water, and then you had the Egyptians drowning. So let's learn one more beautiful thing about tefillah. It's good to learn things about tefillah. Sometimes you say, you say certain things for years and years and years, and then you see a simple question, you're like, why did I never think of that? You know why? Because we were davening way too fast. But if we daven more slowly, what would we notice? Take a look. I underlined it for you. By Maariv, what do we say? By Maariv, we mentioned Kriyas Yamsuf, and by Shachar, we mentioned Kriyas Yamsuf. Bitfilas Arvis, Baskaras Nes Kriyas Yamsuf, and Emes Vamuna. What do we say? Hamavir Bono Ben Gizre Yamsuf, Esrudfeyem Vesoneim Bitsamos Tiva. What does it say? You took us through, right? The Gizre Yamsuf, the walls that divided us, and then you drowned their enemies. Okay. That sounds good. The problem is, so again, so Tchila of Yisrael, it's yeah, v'achar kach, right? The Mitzvim were drowned. The problem is, by Shachris, what does it say in Ezra Savoseinu? It says, you split the Yam, v'zeidim tibata, and then it says, v'yedidim, your beloved ones, us, you took us through. Well, hold on a second, so which is it? By night you're saying you took Klal Yisrael through and then you drowned the Mitzvah. That's more in line with our childish, simplistic understanding of how things went. Jews walked through, Jews got out, Mitzvah drowned. But now you're telling me in Shachris, if you look carefully, it says you split the sea, you drowned the enemies, and then the Jews made it through safely. So according to Ibn Ezra, we know the answer now. Right? Simultaneously, you had some Egyptians who were already drowning, while there were still some Jews who were finishing up their travels through the Yam. Okay, but let's see how he puts it together. So again, Khan, right? Khan here by Shachris called with Tvias Hamitzrim Latzalas Yisrael. So which is it? Kvar Omer Al Zeh Rav Chanuch Zundel Ben Rav Yosef. Turn the page. In his Perush to the Siddur Eitz Yosef. Okay, I have an Otrus Atilas at home, but I'm not. I don't know who this is. I didn't get a chance to learn more about this person. I don't know who Rav Chanuch Zundel Ben Rav Yosef was, but apparently he wrote a Perush to the Siddur called the Eitz Yosef. And he asked this question, and he gives the following answer. Biras Adavra al Pia Rayun Ha'omer Lamal. He answers as follows. The authors of the Tefillah, Mechaber Tefillah, Bikshu L'Ramiz V'Zeal Pela B'Soch Pela. It could be the reconciliation, the simplistic explanation as presented by Maariv, and the more, right, the more unusual presentation in Ezra Savasenu by Shachris is exactly in line with the Ibn Ezra. Ba'od Yisrael over in Bayam. Right, the mitzvim, tibu ha-mitzvim, sheshneim, namely, tviyas ha-mitzvim, v'atzalas Yisrael, b'zman echad hayu, mamish, at the same time, you had, and that was the pella, that you could have a Kodesh Baruch Hu sending one wind, a warm wind, to melt the walls, right, and to drown Egyptians, while parts of the walls still needed to be upheld by the other wind that was driving back the water. So an unbelievable miracle, a pella b'soch pella. That's how the Eitz Yosef, this Rav Chanuch Zundel, Ben Rav Yosef, answers the stira and the davening. But we can give another answer, which I think is very, very good. B'derech HaPshat. Okay? Not that it needs my haskama. It's from the Balei Tosfos. In the Moshe of Zakenim. Anyone ever hear of the Moshe of Zakenim? We have the Moshe of Zakenim. You've heard of the Das Zakenim of the Balei Tosfos, right? It's printed in most Mikros Gedolos Chumashim. There's also a volume that we have called Hadar Zakenim and Moshe of Zakenim. Okay? It's usually not printed, but you can buy it separately. I have it at home. The Moshe of Zakenim is also from the Balei Tosfos. Okay, so in the Moshe of Zakenim, in Shmos Perek Yudalid, it also addresses this question and gives a very interesting answer. Vir Dar Zeb Derech Acheres. Gam Hu Yatzel Lishol Amashan Oren B'Shachris. How could it be? How do we reconcile Shachris and Arvis? No? So here's the answer. Let's just jump down two or three lines. Shere tchila av Yisrael v'achach tibu ha-mitzrim. V'od hosif lishol. Right? The Balei Tosfos asked further. Lama hefsiku miyaste ha-tfila bein v'zeidim tibata l'v'yechasu mayim sarayim. Why would you divide from, it says the Egyptians drowned, then it says, yedidim, you protected, helped them cross, havarta, and then, oh, by the way, you covered the Egyptians with water. Just, it's not a good writing style. Says the Moshe of Zakenim, I'll give you a simple answer. You're not understanding the word right. Look what he says. Ubir, kilashon tibata, ein ho rasa, the explanation, the definition of the word, tibata, as it's being used, v'zeidim tibata, in Ezra Savasenu by Shachris, it doesn't mean that the Egyptians drowned. We're going to get to that in a moment. It's going to say the water covered over our enemies. Hainu shetibu b'mayim lamus. That's not what it means when it first says tibata. Elakamosh shenamor b'yirmiyah. Like we find the Sefer Yirmiyah Perek Lamed Ches. What does it say there? Hatve'u b'botz raglecha. That in the mud, your feet, what? Your feet, what? Got entangled, got stuck. Not drowning in the sense that you died. Drowning in the sense that what? That you were slowed down. Right? It's also a lashon of what? Of sinking into something. That's what happens when you drown. You sink beneath the water and you can't live underwater. Right? But the word, that shoresh, of tes beis ayin, is a lashon of what? Is a lashon of sinking. Ah, so now I can understand. Very simple. What are we saying in Maariv? In Maariv says the Jews crossed and the Egyptians died. Good. What are we saying in Shachris? Who perish? Kishenichnasu Yisrael liyam. Radfu Mitzrim achrayim. They wanted to kill them. Vakadosh Baruch Hu made a nes. And what? The Mitzrim were what? Shoykim v'toyvim batit. They got stuck in the mud. Right? They were sunken in the mud. They didn't die yet. That's the same idea that they were being slowed down. B'sochayam. V'lo yachol iskari v'al Yisrael. Aval adayin lo chisayam aleihem. Because the Jews were still in the water. However, kishiyatza achon should be so many yam. Amar Hashem Moshe, stretch out your hand over the water, return the water to the yam, return the water to its place. And now I understand the lashon of tefillah very precisely. Yam suf bakata, You split the waters. V'zeidim tibata batit. The enemies, what? They struggled. They were sinking in the mud. Kodim shagam yisrael lav. Well, that gave the Jews the extra time they needed to get through. V'acher kach v'yedidim havarta. The Jews, your beloved nation, got through. And afterwards, the water covered over our enemies. Very nice. New understanding. It's good. It's good to know what we're saying when we daven, to understand it in a better way. And what's beautiful about the Moshe of Zakenim, says Ramirsky, is that it's mamish mida k'neged mida. Why should the Egyptians have to sink in the mud before the Egyptians actually are drowned? Drowned in a simplistic sense by the waters. Because the mitzvim, shi abdu es Yisrael batit. Because the Jews were also forced to what? To make bricks out of that mud. And the Jews also sunk in the mud. And their buildings were dafka built in areas where it collapsed in the mud. And their children were thrown into the mud. So therefore the Egyptians needed to understand what that feeling is. That feel, that painful, slow, sinking feeling of a person getting stuck in the mud. Okay? Second to last paragraph. The Ma'aseh Kriyas Yamsuf Nemar Vayar Yisrael Siyata Gedola Asher Asa Hashem Mitzrayim VeEminu BaHashem Moshe Avda. We'll end with one more beautiful ha'ara into Kriyas Yamsuf and into the Az Yashir. What does it say? The pasuk says, he's already in pasuk Lamed Aleph now, that the Jewish people saw the Yad Gedola. They saw awesome things, and guess what? They believed in Hashem and Moshe. Yeah. What's the question? Duh. As if there was a havamina not to believe. Right. So Yonison says, "What do you mean they didn't believe until now?" Well, you could say along the way there was still a great fear that it wasn't over yet. The Jews lived with a lot of paranoia, and that's why Hashem says, "Trust me, you're never going to see these mitzvim again." And I'm even going to wash up their bodies on the shore, so you don't have a havamina that what we got out of the water. Maybe they also got out of the water. Maybe they're just a little farther downstream, and they're still chasing us. Hashem says, "Relax, it's over." It's mamish over. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Look, we saw that piece from the Talmud Rebbe the other week. That there was a certain yishuv das that they were finally able to have. Not just that their bodies were free, but their spirit had been restored and freed. Yeah.
I think you say that it says by yar, and they talk about yar belief, but the belief is experiential and not logical.
Okay.
So you need to have experience to drive to start.
Okay, interesting. Right, seeing is believing, in a certain sense. Right, but he's not to say, why, you know, until now they couldn't come to that, this was the ultimate experience. I guess to see the precision, you know, part of what's beautiful here is this precision with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time will reward the tzaddikim and afflict the rasha'im. And that's important to see. Because sometimes we look at the world and we say, you know, the world is just... It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem that it's precisely... And Hashem says, look how precise it is here. You could have a Jew, right, on dry land, and there's literally behind him, there's like this raging water with a mitzri drowning in it. And the water's not expanding itself even an inch into the Jew's territory. He's able to cross on dry land. You have that by Yonah. When Yonah's on the boat, the way that some of the Mefarshim shot, based on Midrashim, explain that the reason they knew something was going on, right, there was this terrible storm. So normally when there's a storm at sea, all the boats at sea are affected by the storm. What was strange in this particular case was what? The Medrash says there was this dark cloud over their boat, and the water beneath their boat was shaking, and their boat was, right, like it's supposed to say, chishaval yishaver, is on the verge of destruction, and they're looking out on the water, and they see a guy, you know, it's a nice sunny day, he's got his fishing rod, and he's got a nice cold iced tea in his hand. Yeah? And so I say, Yonah, what's up? What did you do that got us into all this trouble? But again, it's those moments where we see the Yad Hashem with precision that cause us to really believe in Hashem and to believe in the tzaddikim who tell us things are going to be okay. They saw, what is nothing? Moshe, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. Now we see you're a trustworthy shliach of Hashem. Now we see Hashem's precision, and it all makes sense. When you finally come to the real end, which is what Yitzias Mitzrayim was at Kriyas Yamsuf, mamish the siyum of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so then they really believed. Yeah.
If you look at the jacket,
yeah. Yeah.
So that there's like a whole few pages there about like what the Rambam holds.
Okay.
Comparing the Makos and
okay.
So the Rambam holds that they all went through 12 tunnels and it's a certain kind of jewel and they're transparent so you're able to see
okay.
All the tunnels. And he says that also a lot of other things happen, that, you know, I'm in dry land, fruit trees spurt up.
Right.
So that people can...
to provide for them. Right.
Yeah, and they don't have to stop. They can just continue.
Right, fruit trees and...
stick their hand into the water and...
candy.
Into the wall,
candy for children, yeah, it's great.
And it brings unbelievable contrast to what's happening behind them.
Right. So, and to think it's right there, that the water can be so, every drop, Bashkacha Pratis. It's unbelievable, it's beautiful. So what's the Chiddush, with this concludes Rav Mirsky, what's the Chiddush that they believed? So he ends on a very practical Avodas Hashem note. Take a look inside. Last paragraph on page 212, and then we have one final paragraph on page 213. El mishum sheyesh roim es Hashem ve'einam ma'aminim. The Metzius says there are people who see miracles, and they're still not ma'aminim. Matzinu le'eliyahu Navi. Here's a good example. In Malachim Aleph and Perek Yud Ches, the famous showdown at Har Carmel. Eliyahu HaNavi, kishis yatsev negin neviyei Baal, v'ratzel erosim ki Hashem hu Elokim. Eliyahu davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, send down a fire and consume my carbon, show these neviyei Baal that they're a bunch of phonies. And yet Eliyahu famously says, Aneini Hashem, Aneini. What's the double Aneini? Answer me Hashem, answer me. What was he asking for? Shalu b'gemara, lama kefal, Kafal Eliyahu Milas Aneini. Why did he repeat the Lashon Aneini twice? Says the Gemara in Brachos Davav. This is Biru. The Gemara explains. As Biru Hashem, Ki al shnei dvar mispal Eliyahu. Aneini shetere eish min ha-shamayim, va-aneini shlo yomru maisek shafim huzeh. Yes, Hashem, bring down the fire, but let them know that it's from you. Let them understand fully what's happening here. Aneini Hashem, Aneini. Aneini Hashem, Aneini. What?
Nothing.
No, Aneini is 180, and Aneini is 180. So if you have two Aneinis, then you have the full circle. If you're 60, right? The two halves of the you have to say Hashem. Come on, take us all the way around. If you're gonna send down the fire, they're still gonna say, no, but Eliyahu just used the same black magic, the same Avodah Zarah, the same Kishuf that we did. So that's not gonna be such a chap. So it's Aneini Hashem Aneini. I make it clear. Because again, you could see a miracle and you could still say, nah, it was just... You can always explain away the miracle. You cannot recognize the Yad Hashem. You cannot recognize the precise Yad Hashem. Okay, final page. B'lashon aneini, shabachar Eliyahu l'ispal etzam aneis. When Eliyahu was davening for the neis, but also lashon ispal she'akiru b'neis. Aneini, aneini. Because it's really only a miracle if they're going to recognize this from you, Hashem. Otherwise, the miracle becomes a further proof against you, Hashem. You can see wondrous things, and you can still not believe. A very scary thought. Kasav Ramban. The Mitzrim saw that the Yam split before Klal Yisrael. Says the Ramban in Shemos Perek Yudalet, how did they not have a Hava Mina that this was the setup, that this was going to be it? Look how the Jewish God was performing for them. He had put a pillar of smoke, of fire, of cloud, of fire, to protect them, to shield them. Hey, what were they thinking? But the answer is, you can see miracles before your eyes, and if you have a sickness in your head, you don't realize what you're seeing. Because of the Ramban, Ve'ein b'chol hamovsim kepela zeh. There was no miracle like this. Ve'zeh be'emes shiga'on lehem. Right? A person who doesn't want to see is not going to see. You can see the most wonderful miracles before your eyes. All of the Bria is a wonderful miracle. Everything's a wonderful miracle. But if you want to explain it away, you'll find ways to explain it away. So Baruch Hashem, it's a credit to Klal Yisrael and Shmos Yudal Lamed Aleph Ve'aminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. Ve'zeh chidish b'pasek shalanu. Vayiru Ames Hashem, the people feared Hashem. They revered is a better, it's a nicer word. Revered Hashem. Ve'aminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdo. Says the Aruch Hashulchan in the Sagada Shal Pesach called L'Leil Shimurim Hagada. Shemivnei Azusam Hagadol L'Shel Amitzum. Sheraw Mofsei Hashem v'Niflosav. V'yatzu Acher Kach ba'Azus Meitzach L'Mochama B'Shvil L'Achzir L'Mitzrayim. After all they had seen, the Mitzrayim still didn't get it, and they wanted to drag the Jews back to Mitzrayim. What happens, Rahman al-Tzan, if a Jew doesn't get it? Or in this case, if a Mitzvah doesn't get it? What does Hashem do when a person doesn't get it? Hashem has to force you to get it a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Which is why we don't think about this enough, but the makos that they experienced by the Yam were many, many more, as various shitas in the, right, in the Tanayim, that we say in the Haggadah, present. There were many, many more makos, what exactly they were, but there were many more makos by the Yam that the Mitzrayim experienced than even Mitzrayim. Because you still don't get it. You mamish still don't get it. Kvosha Amrubah Gadr Yossi Aglili says there were 50 makos by the Yam. Rabbi Elazar says Masayim makos. Rabbi Akiva says 250 makos. 250 makos by the Yam. Right? Because they still didn't get it. It's mamish a big bracha for us. Every makah that they got by the Yam, the Vilna Gaon says, turns into a bracha for us. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu promises what? That the kol ha-machla asher samti Mitzrayim lo asim alecha. That everything I did to the Egyptians, I'm not going to do to you. So therefore, the Tanayim are trying to say, look how many things they did to the more, right? Why did the Tanayim? The Egyptians are dead, leave them alone. No, because everything I could say that they did to them, Hashem didn't do to us and promises not to do to us. Kol ha-machla asher samti Mitzrayim lo asim alecha. I will never bring it upon you. I'll never bring it upon you. I'll just conclude this inyan of not getting it. You know, I always think, whenever I think about this idea, I always think of what Rav Shur shared after 9/11. It's printed in the Halakach Valibu of Tafshin Samach Aleph. I remember I was in YU at the time when 9/11 took place, a very tragic day. So in Tafshin Samach Aleph in 2001, so Rav Shur spoke afterwards, and it was printed. And he quoted a vart from the Yira Kaddish, based on the Gemara and Shabbos. Really, Shabbos, the Gemara and Shabbos, really just explaining a pasuk. The pasuk says, Mishamayim hishmata din, Mishamayim, from the heavens, shmata din, an airplane in the heavens crashing into a building, Mishamayim hishmata din. Right, that explosive sound of a plane hitting a building. Shemayim, from the heavens, Shemata Din, you heard the din. Eretz Yara, the earth, those down below, Yara, were frightened. Right, Eretz Yara, Vishakta. And then there was Sheket, there was silence. There was a calm. So says the Gemara in Shabbos, Im Yara, Lama Shakta, Im Shakta, Lama Yara. The Gemara asked the question. The Yira Kaddish really just helps us to make sure we don't miss the point the Gemara is trying to make. But the Gemara in Shabbos says, what on earth is David HaMelech talking about? What do you mean, Eretz Yara V'Shakta? Trembling, revering, fearing, yeah? Being frightened and being calm, it don't usually go together. Now, it could be the Shakta is the deafening and nauseating silence that follows sometimes a terrible tragedy. Right? The silence that survivors of terrorist attacks describe, that disgusting and nauseating silence of death, Rahman al-Islam, that hangs over a scene of destruction. Right? So it could be that's what the shakta is. It could be it's a shakta that's very much in line with the yara. But again, the yara implies a certain pandemonium, a certain fear, a certain craziness. There's no shaket that follows that. So the Yira Kaddish said the following. Whenever there's a din, whenever there's a harsh rebuke by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you get the message, then Hashem says, thank you, I'm so happy you got it. You took it to heart, and now I don't have to strike again. There doesn't have to be another patch, because you got the message. So there could be a sheket, there could be a calm that follows because you've absorbed the musr, you've absorbed the tochcha. But what happens when the Rebbe tries to give the musr and the talmidim don't get it? Or the parent tries to rebuke the child doesn't get it. So unfortunately, sometimes the parent feels, I have to come up with a harsher punishment to help my child get it. The Rebbe has to say it more openly so the Talmidim can get it. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to punish Klal Yisrael more openly, more harshly, to make sure that they don't miss the message, they should get it. So therefore, Eretz Yara V'Shakta. So Rav Shur was saying, Rachmana Litzlan, this was a real slap in the face of Klal Yisrael in the world. That such a horrible thing could happen, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu could allow thousands of people to be killed in such a way, right? It was a transformation in the way that people live their lives, and it still is to this day. It was the opening of a new chapter of terrorism. But Rav Shur said you have to make sure you get something from it. It's not just, oh, this was terrible, and you know, and it's going to take a little bit of time to get back to regular life. right? But you have to be transformed by such an event. There has to be a yira, a real understanding of the punishment that took place, and then there can be a sheket, then there can be a shalva, then there can be a hope for a better tomorrow. But if we don't get it the way the Mitzrim didn't get it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I have to strike again. And therefore at the Yam, the Mitzrim suffered even more because they showed that Azus Meitzach, that refusal to get it. And therefore 50, maybe 200, maybe 250, right? To add it all up. It was a very very harsh experience. Okay, so we end with the bracha. Rav Mirsky says, Cain, so too, all of the enemies of the Jewish people should be destroyed. Like it says, the pasuk in Micha, the same way that they saw miracles, we should be zochet to see miracles in our times. Shkoyach, should be zochet to the gula this year. Shkoyach.